Good morning, everybody. How do you greet in Italian? Arrivederci. No, that's see you later. Buongiorno. Come va? Bonjour. Comment allez-vous? That's French. So you may sit down. Bonjour. Comment allez-vous? That's French. Any French here? Okay. Vous parlez français? Ah ben oui, je peux prêcher en français alors. Buongiorno. That's Italian. G'day. G'day is Australian. Namaste. 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 Can I say that? Namaste. Hindi. Come on, start. Now, you are international church. You need to learn all these languages. Amen? Hallelujah. This is international church. I came here and I said, buongiorno. You know that. Bonjour. Comment allez-vous? French and all this. It's good to be here. Amen? I was preparing yesterday. I had a few messages that when I went. By the way, for those of you who know where I'm from, that's where the brother's a missionary. I'm a full-time school teacher. I work in a Christian school. I teach maths and French. And I also do missions work. I also go overseas and do a lot of missions. I was preparing to share missions work with you. I said, now let me just give you a word. Okay, instead. I do a lot of missions like your church does, Pastor Tony does. I go to different places, Sri Lanka, India, wherever God sort of opens the door. And next year I'm planning, perhaps God willing, to take a group of people to my homeland, Mauritius. So if any one of you like to go to Mauritius on the mission team, so we all network, let me know. If you want to have a little holidays with your family and get to know a different country, eat different food, and also worship in a different place, who knows? God might do it. Hallelujah. We're all in one God's family. Anyways, that's what I do. But when I was praying, I had a few messages I preached in India this year when I was in India in December. I think maybe I should preach this one. But somehow, there's something that keep clicking into my heart. It's just sort of, no, preach that one, preach that one. So if I just think about this new shirt, I thought it was new. I wish it was new. But anyway, the shirt looks new. It's about newness. I want to talk about new today. Everybody say new. Okay, how many of you, God is a God who likes something always new? He's not into the goal that always stay in the old. Okay, we might get older, we might get age-wise, but God is in the business of creating something new every day. Amen. Yeah. He wants to renew us. The Bible says, even though this body was different 15, 20, 30 years ago. All right, if you know me, those who know me, I had lots of hair. Now I had to actually take time to do it in the morning. You see? But it's getting older. But what God wants, He's not interested in the way that I look on the outside. I think, when you're younger, you always take your time to spend, oh, is it good? But, most importantly, the most important work that God wants to do is to do in your heart. He wants to change that. He wants to do something great in that heart. He wants to renew. He wants to bring something new. And how many of you excited that He can do something new in your life this morning? Amen? It's not me, God that we serve. And it's great to see you all. Some of you I don't know. Some of you some familiar faces. Well, as I said, I had that message and then I felt that new coming, the word new. I said, that's all right. I'm going to talk to you about new. I have to get back on the pulpit because my notes are in the pulpit. Now, you know the good things about the olden days, all right? I'm a teacher. I use a lot of resources, iPads and all these pads that you have, you know? That's why I let it here. Okay, it's not anointed. Anyway, so, we used to remember our Bible verses. How many of you remember you need to use, when perhaps you need to learn your Bible verses? How many of you knew that when you grew up as a child, we had to learn our Bible verses. We need to know where they were. But nowadays we got iPad. We got Google. We got Bible Gate. Type in, straight away takes you there. But when I grew up as a young Christian, I had to learn my Bible verses. I knew where they are. And this morning, I think about the first verse that I was going to speak to you. I felt a bit ashamed of myself. I had to look around. If only I had my internet on, I would have gone Bible Gate, just type in new creation. It will take me there. Sorry, I don't want to be the teacher this morning, but how many of you know the reference of this verse? If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. If you know the reference, can you call it out, please? Oh, you're great people. I like the beard, brother. Hallelujah. Woo. That's an anointed beard. I like the goatee. Hallelujah. What is it? It's 2 Corinthians 5, 17. I knew it was 2 Corinthians 5. I knew it was Corinthians 5. But after, praise the Lord rescued me. Just before I jumped out of my seat, I could find it because I don't have my app today. I also brought my Bible. Hallelujah. So, let's quickly, if you want to open it, I'm going to reference a few verses. If you got taking notes, take notes. The first verse I'm looking is 2 Corinthians 5, 17, where God says, it's good that you and I know that we are new creation. That's who we are, right? We might be attending church. We might be attending international Christian church. We might think ourselves as a different identities. We can actually think about who we are. But this is how God sees us. God sees us as a new creation. Hallelujah. I love this. I love this. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, right? Can someone read it, please? Read it. Someone read it? I like participation, and that's good. You're great this morning. Somebody read this verse for me, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Yeah?
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone,
and the new is here. Hallelujah. The new is here. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. Hallelujah. Who are you? You are a new creation. Do you see yourself this way? Or do you see yourself as this poor, miserable soul who just happened to come to church and do a few church things, do a few good works, or struggling in life to live out that faith? Now, let me tell you something. The good news is, whatever our God has done in Jesus, whatever He's done in Jesus through the cross, and whatever purpose that Jesus had to come to this world, it's for us, the church, so that we can be a new creation. There was a song I learned when I was a young Christian. It said, I'm a new creation, new man. All things are passed away. Hallelujah. A conqueror, that's who I am. Creation, I'm a brand new man. Is this who you are? Oh, you woman, hallelujah. Is this who you are this morning? Let's sing this verse again. I'm going to be unorthodox today. Unorthodox means I'm not your typical preacher. Would you allow me to do that? Yeah. Let's just join this word. Let's sing this in faith. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. All things are passed away. I'm a brand new again. And a conqueror, that's who I am. New creation, I'm a brand new man and woman. I'm a brand man, I'm a brand woman. Hallelujah. Why? Because God has made it this way. Christianity is not just to belong to a particular church. Christianity is not just to come. It's great to come to church. If you didn't come to church, you wouldn't hear me. I wouldn't be able to preach to you. And that's why God brings us together. It's always important to come to church. Support the local church. Be here. But it's more than that. It's God working in your life. It's God taking control of your life. It's God having control in your future. You, your wife, your child, your family, this area, this generation. And I'm glad to hear also the good news that this church, as far as I'm concerned up here, you have an impact internationally. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. International Christian Church. That's why I greeted you in different languages this morning. Hallelujah. Friends, brothers and sisters, you are a new creation. I'm a new creation. I am a new creation. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. When He came to rescue you, when He came to save you, when He came in your life, He wanted you to be His. He wanted to fill His purposes in your life. It says all things are passed away. Now, I don't know how many years you've been a Christian. I don't know whether you're here for the first time. I don't know whether you've been a Christian for so many years. But I know one thing, that God can change the past. The past won't change, but He can use your past to build your future. Whatever happened in your past, you know, a lot of us, sometimes we look at our past with good memories. Sometimes we look at our past with bad memories. Do you know the one that really the enemy wants to bring to your attention? What is it? The good or the bad? Come on, let's be honest. What do you remember mostly? The good or the bad memories? The bad memories. And that's why Jesus said, anyone who's in Christ is a new creation. All things are passed away. You can't live in the past. I can't live in the past. Things have changed. We're new. We're living in the 21st century. Everything has changed. We got to keep up. But you know what? The good thing is, God says all things are passed away. I don't know this today. I'm just thinking as I'm praying and allowing God to move. Perhaps some of you are looking back at your past sins. Perhaps some of you are looking back at yesterday's sin, this morning's sin. And you keep looking back. You know what? You can never go forward if you're looking back. Have you ever seen somebody walking? Oh, so look at that. I won't do that. Maybe I should start from here. Have you ever seen somebody walking like this? Have you ever seen someone like this? Let me know. Then I'm just going to pray for that person. If you're a young driver, right? That's anyone. Not any young, myself, anybody. You got to keep your eyes on the road, right? You can't look back and drive. Only Jim Carrey does that in certain movies. You can't do that, can you? No, you have to keep your eyes in front. You can't keep looking at the back. So if you want to move forward, I'm talking to you. If there's things happen in your past and you're still looking back, you're still looking back, you're still sort of playing the tape. I've got a book at the moment. I started reading it, but I haven't finished. It says you need to break these tapes that keep you back into the dark memories. Not all of us grew up in a Christian family. My son grew up in a Christian family. Some of you know him. Stefan, and thank you again for welcoming him here. He felt very, very at home. He thanked you, Pastor Mirela, and all everyone when he was doing his internship at wherever he is. There a mine somewhere here? Some mining company here? That's what he worked with them. Anyway, I don't know. I forgot the name. Anyway, so when he was here, he was well looked after. So he had a privilege of growing up in a Christian family. I wasn't. So I came a Christian at the age of 16. So 16 years without Christianity. 16 years seeing abuse in the house. 16 years seeing immorality. 16 years seeing a father who would not really show love to my mom and all the rest of it. But you know what? Psychologists these days will tell you, oh, you are who you are because of your past. Correct? Correct? Sigmund Freud did that and he became very famous. It says you are what you are today because of your past. But I want to say something today in faith. Based on God's word, I believe if you are in Christ, God can deal with this. Can he deal with this? Can he deal with this? If you believe, say amen. Amen. He can deal with this. So your past doesn't have to make you a prisoner today and for your future. So you got a choice. You got to stand what the word says. I am a new creation. I am a new creation. More than a conqueror. Why? Because of what Jesus did for me. Amen. Simple as that. Because of what Jesus did for me. Because of what Jesus did for me. I don't have to live in the past. And the enemy likes you to live in the past. He likes to bring back that failures between couples. He likes to bring that failures perhaps in even a church situation. He likes to bring that back and play the tape. And play the tape. You know when he starts playing the tape? Turn the switch off. All right? How many know what I'm talking about? Put your hand up. That's all right. I'm putting my hand up. All right? He likes playing that tape again. He likes to play that tape of failure. He likes to play the tape when somebody offended you. He likes to play the tape when somebody made you feel that you're nothing or you're bad or something like that. He likes to play these tapes. You better turn the switch off. Take the tape, throw it away. Or you won't use the tape. Now we can just, whatever. Just change the channel. Somebody just change the channel. That's today's lingo. Change the channel. Don't leave it on that channel. Change the channel in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen? Change the channel and say, hey, let me see what God has for me. Let me get a good book to read. Let me watch a good something that can edify me, make me grow in my faith and get me closer to Jesus and be filled with God's Spirit. Anyone who's in Christ is a new creation. That's who you are. That's who you are. The enemy can look at you and say, oh, look at yourself. You know, look at yourself in the mirror. Yes, some days it's bad, you know. But you know what? God loves you. God loves you. I like what the sister said this morning. She's happy. Why is she happy? Why were you happy? Because she knows who she is in Christ. Hallelujah. She's a daughter, amen, of the living God.
Hallelujah.
Doesn't mean she's perfect. Does it mean I'm perfect in Christ? But, you know, in reality, we might do the wrong thing. We might fail. We might here and there. But before God, you're still my daughter. Amen? Before God, you're still my son. Before God, you still love. He still loves us. God's love and our love is very different. You know what I mean? I mean, God has only blessed me with one son. I love him not because he's got good grades, not because he's got a good job, not because of blah, 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 blah. I love him because he's my son. Full stop. Do you get it? As a parent, is that how we love our children, parents? Show your hands here. To love your child because he's been good, he's made you proud. Or sometimes they might not make us proud. Sometimes they might make mistakes, but we love them. That's how God. You are a new creation. You belong to God. God has loved you so much. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's you and me. So that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Friends, see yourself as a new creation. Don't live in the past. You are a new creation. God is about to do something new and great in you. Now, why all these? Why all these? Because 1 Corinthians 11:12 said, there's a new covenant. See, the old covenant before Jesus came, the old covenant, people had to obey. People had to follow the law. Although when they failed, God had a system for them to get forgiveness. All right? By the sacrificial system of animals, they had to sacrifice animals and shedding of the blood. But in the New Testament, we're talking about newness. The theme of my message is newness. We are a new creation. And why all this? Because of the new covenant. Right? Let's have a quick look at this verse. 1 Corinthians 11:25 speaks about the new covenant. God has made a covenant with us. What's a covenant? If you want to explain a covenant, what's a covenant? Agreement, yeah? What's a covenant? Anyone? Yeah? It's a contract, exactly. And once you've done a contract, what happens? You need to abide in it. Okay, you can't pull out. All right? A new covenant. A new covenant. Again, new covenant. New, it's new. Because the Israelites didn't know that. Okay? 1 Corinthians 11:25. Somebody read it. 1 Corinthians 11:25. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Now, I know that I don't have the stats. I don't have the figures. But you know what? Somebody said the blood of Jesus in today's churches is not mentioned very often. But you know the old churches, they used to sing hymns about the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Sing it with me. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Sing it again with all your heart. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Come on, Lord. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Amen. Amen. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. We are a new creation because of the blood of Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish. God doesn't want you to perish. And how did he do that? He had to pay a price. The price was Jesus. The price was the blood. Friends, let's not be one of these people who remember Jesus' death only during Easter. Hello? We don't remember Jesus' death only for Easter and then we forget about it. No, Jesus' death is a reality every day, every second in my life. Amen? Amen. Because the blood of Jesus had the power to forgive, to make you right, to clean you. Right? Quite interesting. I bought a new car. New. Sorry, God provided one because mine was pretty old anyway. So we decided to get a new one. So I was cleaning yesterday. You can see the dirt. I had to find a, you know, special clean. Where is it? Perfect. Clean. Cleaning, you know, get my wash and then clean. Everything's fine. Clean. Looks good. Clean. Neat. But when I sin, when I do the wrong thing, when I say the wrong thing, all right? When I speak the wrong thing, when I think about the wrong thing, you don't even have to say it. In the New Testament, it says thinking. Thinking about the wrong thing. What do I clean it with? Is anything that can clean it? Can I use, go to the Woolworth and can I have something to clean my heart? I've got a problem, you know, I've got sin. I did something wrong this morning. Can I buy some bleach? Bleach would help? No, it won't help. Can I buy some super glue? By the way, I got some super glue yesterday. I was gluing something in my thing. Anyway, glue. Nothing else can save the soul of the sinner. Nothing else can bring peace between God and the sinner except the blood of Jesus. Except the blood of Jesus. We need to start preaching about the blood of Jesus because the blood of Jesus is the one who saves sinners. Hallelujah. We preach about the blood of Jesus. Look at the old, not the old, the preachers through church history. They preach on the blood of Jesus. I remember my old principal, Pastor Aaron Morgan, used to say, the cross is bloodied. I'm not swearing here. I'm using the word bloody. It's got blood in it. Do not embellish it. Do not make it look good. Do not change it for the sake of the world. Don't change it. Because God lays the wrath of God was upon Jesus. You and I need to be beaten. You and I need to be thrown to hell. You and I, God needed to turn his back on me for all the thing that I've done wrong. For all the thing that you have done wrong. For all the sins of humanity. God needed to turn his back. But he didn't turn his back. He turned his back on his son. Jesus suffered rejection. Jesus paid the price. His blood was shed. Friends, you and I are new creation, not by our own merits, not because we're born in a certain family and God said, oh, this is a good family, good gene, I'm going to save that person. Not because we're born in a nice place. God loved us and he saved us. And the way he saved us was only through that cross. Only through that cross that Jesus died. When he shed his blood, what did he say? What did Jesus say? What was his final words? Very good. Thank you. It is finished. It is finished. I have paid the price. I have paid the price for these people here. I paid the price for Siwa. I paid the price for all those who are going to accept me in the world. That is finished. We don't have to add anything to it, brothers and sisters. We do not have anything to add to it. We can't do anything. Before I became a Christian as a Hindu, I used to do a lot of rites before these gods, not the real God, but these gods. I used to walk 500 steps. I used to fast. I used to not eat. I used to have 7 days fasting. I used not to eat meat. I used to carry some wooden frame. I used even to take my tongue and pierce it with certain needles so that I can sacrifice myself for the gods. But now, nothing else would matter. Nothing else. What matters? Is the blood of Jesus. Does that give you an encouragement to praise him? Yes. Does that give you an encouragement to stand up and say, yes, Jesus, I love you? Yes. Right? Are you scared of saying, he died for you. He paid the price. How do I have nothing to do? That's why praise is something that has to be natural in the Christian. It doesn't have to be kind of, it just has to come natural for what Jesus did. We are a new creation because of the new covenant. Because of the new covenant in his blood. in His blood. In the Old Testament, the blood of animals only covered the sin. All right, the high priest needs to go and present everybody. If you were in the Old Testament, everybody will be coming with the lamb this morning. Hey, that's good, at lamb roast. Ah, just kidding. If you know me, I like to joke, all right? But everybody needs to have a lamb. Why are we carrying our lamb? When we come to this, to the area of worship, the tabernacle, everybody had to carry there, you know, to provide for the offering, the sacrifice. But now, praise the Lord, the new covenant in His blood. Hallelujah. The new covenant in His blood. Friends, I encourage you to appropriate this blood. You know, sometimes when I don't know what to do, I said, Lord, I just pray Your blood cleanse me. Lord, I pray Your blood cleanse me. All right? It says, if anyone of you have sinned, if anyone of you has sinned, what do? We need to confess our sins to God. Lord, I'm sorry. I blew it up. Lord, I repent. I did the wrong thing. I said the wrong thing. I look at the wrong thing. I went to the wrong place. He says, anyone has sinned, confess your sins to God. And what will happen? Something has happened in 1 John. It says, He's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friends, I encourage you to get these verses into your heart, into your mind, into your heart. God, man can accuse you. Man can say this to you, oh, you did the wrong thing. You did the wrong thing. But you have to know in your heart, God, I made it right with You. I made it right with You. And that's what's most important. Amen? Sometimes God will allow you to make restitution with other things. Depends on the situation. But God, it's the blood of Jesus. We're a new creation because of the new covenant. And I'm going to go to the next one. What else new do you know? Let me throw it at you. What else do you know new about our faith, about the church? We're a new creation. What else do we have to follow now? Yeah? Call out. Share. Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is new to us. Yes, I'll get back to this, brother. But my next point is, yes, it's on my list. The next point is, a new. How many commandments do we have to follow? Okay, one, two. Okay, won't get there. Do we have to follow the Ten Commandments? Did Jesus say the word new when He spoke about the commandment? What did He say? A new commandment I give unto you. I'm creating this song now. A new commandment I give to you. And what's the commandment? What is the commandment? Yeah, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor or one another. Love is central. Love is important in God's. Because the reason why He saved us, it's because of love. Now, love is something that you and I would keep being confronted with. All right? We need to live a life of love. We got to follow this, not this command. It's a new commandment. The fact is, we won't be saved because we follow that. We're saved because of Jesus already died for us. That's already settled. Okay? Is that right? But for us to be blessed at home, with our wife and children, neighbors, work situation, place, church, wherever there is people, if you want to have a community, that community should be based on principles of love. I'd like to read some verses this morning because I felt this morning that God wanted me to share with this, and I'm just going to obey Him this morning. Hallelujah. And I'm going to say this to you about the newness of this lifestyle. Okay, if you want to open your book, please. Oh, dear. What did I leave? Yes. I moved it. Colossians, yep. If you want to turn to Colossians, please. Verse 12. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. I want to demonstrate that in a very physical way. Just remember, God has saved us freely through Christ. God has made us new creation. But now he wants to clothe us. He wants to put clothes on us. I want to wear this morning. It's a bit hot, but he wants to clothe us. What kind of clothing does God want us to wear? Myers? Where do you buy your clothes? Well, what's this? Myers? What's the other one, the good shop? Tara? What's the one? David Jones? What's the other one? Woolies? Lowe's? What is it? Give me the brand names. Come on, ladies, gentlemen. Yara? What is it called? It says clothe. You need to wear something spiritual. All right? So, because we're living as new creation, because God has saved us, He belongs, you belong to Him. He wants you now to actually put something on you spiritually. He wants to create something new. He wants you to reflect Him. You know, a lot of times, churches, what we've done sadly in the past, we've always told people, thanks, sister, we've always told people what not to do. I grew up in a church when I was a young Christian, telling me, don't do this, don't do that, don't do. How many of you have been to these churches? Okay, some of us put our hands up, especially French churches, they're pretty good in that. So, legalist. Anyway, very good to the late, you know, you have to do this, you have to do this, a lot of things. But this time it's quite interesting. Paul discusses in the verses before what you should not do, what you shouldn't. And this is what he says. And I think that reflects that new lifestyle, the new commandment of love. Love God and love one another. It says, therefore, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved. Are you all with me? Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Clothe yourself. Clothe yourself. In your mind this morning, spiritually, if you want to just think about putting some clothes on you. What are you going to wear? What are the qualities that God wants to see in us? It says, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. When I look at these five words, there's some of them I'm pretty good in, and some of them I know in my heart I'm not very good in. Right? But you know what God wants? God wants you to grow. God wants to bring that newness of life in you. God wants something new in you. If, for instance, you are somebody who is impatient, all right, you already have a problem with patience. As that person who had a problem with patience, and he knelt down and said, God, please give me patience and give it to me now. He said, please give me patience and give it to me now. And then it shows verse 13, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgiveness is a very, very important spiritual law. We don't have to follow the Ten Commandments, but God is calling us forgive. Sometimes it's very hard, I have to admit. Sometimes when you see people you love, sometimes you have people that you're really close to, and they offend you. These are the people that you'd find hard to forgive. But the Bible doesn't say, forgive only those that are pretty away from you. But it says forgive, just do it. You know the Nike slogan, just do it. And before God, you will feel that peace. Before God, you will be blessed. You know what Jesus said about our enemies? What does he say about your enemies? Huh? Love. Love them. And what did he say also that was very a radical way of looking at your enemy? He says something else he says to do for them. You bless them, yes? Pray for them. Man, that's hard. Honestly, as a human being in this body, it's hard. It's hard to pray for someone who doesn't like you, who wants you to fail, perhaps in school situation, your friend, or whatever that person is, whoever that person is, it's hard to pray. But Jesus said, pray for them. God showed me why is it that God, somehow, we need to pray for people. Because I think Jesus was right. They don't know what they do. If it's a Christian that's causing harm or difficult time for you, They don't know what to do. If someone really knows what they're doing is causing you hurt, is causing you to stumble, or is causing you strife, they won't do it. Unless they're blinded. Whichever way, whether they're blinded, whether Satan is acting his way, or whether they are just being in the flesh, that's not our problem. Our responsibility is to say, God, in the name of Jesus, before I go to bed, I'm going to pray for forgiveness of the people who have offended me today. Amen. Only pastor said amen. Come on. He's saying it on behalf of everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's not easy. But you know what? God wants to create something new in us. God wants to create something new in us. Learn to pray. And I tell you what, I've experienced some funny stories too. I have experienced people that have really been giving me a hard time. And I bless them. I pray for them. I didn't like tick for tack. And guess what? They've been moved from my sight. Not going somewhere, but they've been moved physically from my sight. Before I knew it, they moved section of where I work. Why? Because God knows your heart. You can't be responsible for someone else. You can't be responsible for your husband. You can't be responsible for the pastor. The pastor can't be responsible for anybody, for he's responsible for himself. I'm responsible for myself. My responsibility is to forgive those who offend. Amen? And if I have offended, I need to ask forgiveness before God. And if I have to ask forgiveness to the person, I have to too. And that's how God wants it to do. So friends, what did I say at the beginning? We are a new creation. Amen? Why are we a new creation? Because of the new covenant of his blood. And what's the new lifestyle we're going to live? A new commandment of love. Let's recapture these 3 points together quickly. We are a new creation. God is creating something new. Don't look at your past. Move on. Move on in Jesus' name. Move forward. Okay? Because of the blood of Jesus. New covenant in his blood. Each time Satan comes and brings the tape, the bad tape before you, what do you do? Show him. What do you show him? You show him your certificate that you've got an A in every subject. What do you show him? Oh, your attendance book? I come to church every day. What do you show him? You show him the cross. Amen? Show him the cross. Show him where Jesus' blood was shed. Hey, Jesus paid it. That settled it. You can say whatever you want to do. You can play the tape every time you do. Jesus settled it because of the new creation. As I said, throw the tape away or change channel. You're listening on your iTunes, you know, listening. The young people love to do that. Sometimes my students do that in my class. I go and confiscate the earphone. I'm a bad teacher now. I love them. Yeah, when they listen to in the class, I just say, okay, you can see me this afternoon. I give it to them. But change the channel. Let God work in you. And the fourth point I'd like to bring, we're concluding, as the brother said, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God, God's anointing in you, God's Spirit in your life, in the life of the church, in the life of the believer. You know, we need to spend time. It's quite interesting when I saw your ad, for church. It says, where are you? Where are you spending your time and everything? But you know what? When you're in God's presence, God will bless. Amen? Amen? He will always bless. He knew I was coming here today. He prepared my heart. He prepared your heart. But be in God's presence. And this is where he will fill you. And very important, in that newness of life, that you look for an infilling. I use the analogy, you know, when we go to our car, a lot of preachers use that. I like to use this too. Your car doesn't run permanently on one tank. Does it run forever on one tank of fuel? What do you need to do? You need to refill. You need to refill. You need to refill. And God is in the process of filling you, of renewing you, of doing something new in your life every day. Every day. Are you expecting this, or you just say, let tomorrow be as it was yesterday? No. One beautiful verse said, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Sing it with me. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. Let's close our eyes and sing it again. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. Steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. He wants to renew you. He wants to fill you. He wants to give you that vision, that passion that perhaps you had. You know who comes to steal? There's only one being who comes to steal your vision, steal your passion, steal your dreams. Who is that person? Yeah. He doesn't like us to talk about him, but we got to talk about him because he's under Jesus' feet in Jesus' name. He's under Jesus' feet. Jesus already conquered against him. But he likes to steal. But no, God says, I want to renew you. I want to renew you. His steadfast love never ceases. His love would not cease because he won't turn his back on you. All right? Even you, sometimes you might just turn around and do your own thing. But he will always welcome you as a loving father. His steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. They are new every morning. They are new every morning. So each time, each day when you wake up, each day, each week, each season of your life, bring it to God in faith, in prayer. Say, God, I know you're about to do something great. I don't know, when I was preaching, I felt inspired to lead this way, and that's why I wanted to share with you. Some of you perhaps in this church are going to start something new in their life. You're going to start perhaps a new job, whether you're looking at getting into a new relationship, whether you're going to, I don't know, anything new. But can I say to you that bring it before God. Bring your passion before God. Bring your vision before God. Bring your desires before God. And I pray that He will be merciful to give you what your heart is looking for. Amen?
Amen.
His mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. And to conclude, I had another verse that I wanted. This was my sermon, which I didn't preach, which I haven't preached. And I hope, I believe that I trusted the Lord. The one that I was going to preach this morning that I changed was on 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, which says that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. If you want to do anything in life, you need to deal with this enemy called fear. A lot of people have fear. They have fear, different fears, different fear. There's some natural fear. I don't like heights. I don't do heights. I just fear heights. I would never do bungee jumping. You know the one that you go jumping? Never, never, ever, ever, and ever. Ever, ever, never, ever. Okay? You got it? So if ever you want me to come and say, let's do bungee jumping, no. You do it, I'm going to pray for you. Right? But it's true, fear. Some people are fearful of failures. Some people are fear to start a relationship. They've got the past also there. But let me tell you that fear would not take us big step in life. They won't help us to achieve our dreams. They won't help us to do great things. Even the world without Christ, remember, they acknowledge that. I listened to a YouTube video by Steve Jobs yesterday. How many knew Steve Jobs? The guy who he had an Apple, right? Very successful man. I don't know why he's with God, but he said something which I think is right. He said, you need to be dare yourself to do something that no one has done. Dare yourself to do that impossible. And now, you know what? I'm just linking that with God. God is a God of creation. Out of nothing he created, right? Out of nothing. Zero, nothing. He created all things. Look at us. Aren't we beautiful? Hey, come on. Aren't we beautiful? I am beautiful. Hallelujah. When I hear, I could look up at Michael Jackson. I said, Michael, I'm better looking at India Jesse Joe, okay? But you know, God creates. And some of you in this place, I'm just going to an area where God perhaps would like to kick something new in your life. You've never dared to do that thing. But you know the next step is you got a God who loves you. His mercies are for you. Dare in faith, step up. So how is that going to happen? He said, he hasn't given you a spirit of fear. He has given you a spirit of power, love, wisdom, and self-discipline. That was my message. I'm not going to preach on that, but I just want to leave that with you. So if there's this fear is anything in your life, deal with it. Deal with it. All right? Sometimes some people, a little bit of fear is good for you, you know, to do what you have to do. But if you've always been afraid, some people are afraid. What about if I go into this mortgage? What about? Before they start, always find, you know, fearful. You know what I mean? When I first wanted to buy a house, my close relatives said to me, don't buy a new house. You won't be able to. You know, all these negatives that comes in. You have to have good wisdom to do what you have to do. But sometimes it's in a step of faith. All right? And if you're walking with God, if you're walking with good, your good shepherd, remember what the good shepherd does? He would lead you. He would lead you. Where would he lead you? What kind of pastures? What kind of pastures? Green. And some version says evergreen. Evergreen pastures. We just need to trust him. Amen? Even when things go wrong, we need to trust him because he's a good shepherd. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you, God. We thank you, Father, that you wanted us to feed us this morning. And the fact, Father, that you have made us new creation. The fact is, Lord, you have done it because of your blood and that blood of Jesus which was shed on Calvary. And thank you, God, now you have given us a purpose for living. Now, Lord, we can be filled with your Spirit. Now, Lord, we can live into this newness of life. We can live, Father, not having to obey the Ten Commandments, but loving you and loving our neighbor. And thank you, Father, you've also showed us this morning through your word. What is it that we need to be closed with? What is it that we need to have in our lives, Father, to live well in community and to be a blessing to our family, to be a blessing to the people around us, and to be a blessing to the people in our workplace? Father, we bring ourselves before you. I bring Pastor Tony and the church at International Christian Church. Father, before you, I pray your anointing, your presence, the zeal of the Lord will be in their heart. They will be driven, Father, to be with you. They'll be driven to do your work. They'll be driven to follow, to work together and fulfill the vision and the passion of this church. Lord, may this church be a church as it was in the olden days, be an outreach to the world. Wherever God leads them, Lord, wherever God sent them, may them be, Father, branches, the seeds that will be sown in different places. These seeds will grow, Father, into trees, and these trees will bear fruits. Fruits for the kingdom, Lord. Fruits for you, Lord. And one day when we are in heaven, we'll be looking back and saying, God, I was part of this church. I was part of this congregation who was a blessing to the nations. Friends, God has called us to be not a worldly Christian, but a world Christian. The one who has got his heart. God's heart is after missions. God's heart is for lost souls. God's heart is for the people in Australia and outside of Australia, because his kingdom doesn't have any limitation boundaries. He's not the Lord only in Newcastle. He's the Lord in Australia. He's the Lord of New South Wales. He's the Lord in Tasmania. He's the Lord of all creation. And he wants his word to go and bless people in the world. So let's be a part of it. Let's be a part of it. Let's join hands together. Let's join hearts together. Let's join our efforts together to be a blessing, and let's live this new life that God has called us to do. Amen. Let's just give the Lord a big clap. Hallelujah. Let's praise him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.